Here's the best part. All right, what's going on, everyone? My name is Steve Oatley. The show is called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show run by an active freight broker, and I could say that because I booked a load this morning, which I will talk about because I made money on it, and it's not the way you think. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about why this whole broker transparency cheap freight argument is kind of BS. Or not, it's not BS, but we'll talk about that here in a second. So make sure you guys share this video out. If you're watching on Facebook, please do me a solid and share it out. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that like button. That would be super helpful to me and just getting other people to pay attention to the video and watch it. It seems like there's a bunch of people. We got Jeremy Rice from Kentucky, Matthew Fallon on Facebook, Dual Mord on Facebook. Oh, a whole bunch of people. Iceman Northland. He's there as well. Iceman Northland said, "Oh my gosh, a freight broker made money on the load. We need government regulation to prevent such things." That is true. But we'll talk because it's an interesting thing. And it just shows that carriers are sabotaging themselves. They're sabotaging. But we'll talk about that. But first, our show sponsor today and for the rest of the month is Ascend TMS. If you guys haven't used Ascend TMS, well, you're missing out. It's one of the best TMS systems out there. And here's a little intro commercial that they put together. It's 1 minute long. Stay tuned.
Aren't you tired of your outdated server installed TMS? Are you stuck with a software that looks like it was developed when the Matrix movie was popular? Well, Ascend TMS is here to bring you to the actual future of TMS solutions. You can literally get started in less than 15 seconds. Ascend TMS is one of the only true cloud-based TMS softwares on the market. While other softwares could take weeks or even months to implement, Ascend TMS just takes a few moments. See, we actually timed it. And what about features? I think we have you covered there. Here at Ascend TMS, we're so confident you'll make your business more efficient and profitable in your first 30 days, we give it to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at thefreetms.com.
All right. So today is May 12th. It is 2:04 on the East Coast. Forgot to say that in the beginning. It's an interesting day. Today, I'm in an off mood, to be honest. I'm not quite sure how I feel about anything. I've been working. I've got a stack of bills I have to pay, you know, because freight brokers don't have any overhead. I know. But I've got a big old stack of bills that I have to pay. I've got, you know, I don't know, exams for school. I got so much crap going on. Plus, I'm trying to work out again and realizing that now I'm weak after taking 6 weeks off. So it's a big disaster. Anyway. If any of you guys haven't seen, I have this little site called freightbrokerlive.com, which I'll throw up on the screen here so you can see it. It's a pretty rad site. I spent a lot of time building it. I write a lot of the stuff on there, although I am growing, so I have a couple of authors now that are writing as well. But one of the first stories that we're going to talk about today is the state of trucking, which is a story and infographic I put out every week. You could see the big infographic here. For further details, you can go to the site. But let me move this down, and I forgot to open up that trend lines. So it looks like things are kind of taking a change. Freight volumes are starting to come up. Load rates are starting to come up. It's kind of all over the place, though, so who knows what is going on, but load volumes are definitely increasing across the board. According to software provider and one of my advertisers, DAT Solutions, let me get this up and loaded here. Let me see. All right, so van load-to-truck ratios have increased 20% from this from last week, which is those are pretty big numbers, really, if you don't think about it. We've been down for a while. We're still down. April 2020, we were down 32% from April 2019, and that's showing across the board. Van spot rates this week have increased from last week, still down from April of 2019, with 9.5%. Flatbed load-to-truck volumes have increased 25%, still down 72% for flatbed loads from 2019, or April 2020, April 2020 through April 2019, which we know because they're down. Flatbed spot rates are up 0.9%, but also down. Last month was down quite a bit. Reefer load to truck volumes also increased, not as much as flatbed and dry van, but those reefer rates are also up as well. And that's a pop-up that I don't want on the screen. So that's something. Loads are starting to come in. Businesses are starting to open. When businesses start to open, load volume should increase. Therefore, rates are probably going to increase. Hopefully, right? That's what everyone says. I hope they do, to be honest. Load posts on the DAT1 network also continue to climb, with businesses reopening in some states and produce season increasing the demand for truckload shipments. Prices and load truck ratios remain low, but freight markets appear to have turned a corner. That is from DAT. Here's an interesting fact. So we all know how bad April was, right? Everyone knows rates suck. People are protesting. It sucks. Cheap freight brokers are horrible. Well, all the publicity of these, well, all the lack of publicity, whatever you want to call it, for these DC protests and all the trucker cheap freight brokers are horrible protests that have been going on, they have done nothing but encourage more freight brokers to enter the industry. And this is true. This, in the past 7 days, we had the highest number of new freight broker applications that I've seen since I started monitoring Carrier 411. We had 243 applications for new freight broker authorities, which is, it's insane. So more people, all this negative press and all the negative publicity about freight brokers gouging and making so much money. And guess what? It had a counter effect. It had a counter effect. So what it really did is it turned more people onto the whole freight broker industry. So like I said, 243 new applications for freight broker authority. Granted, I mean, those are just applications. Aren't people that have been accepted and had their authorities granted. Yeah, I guarantee you, at least half of them haven't even looked at the cost of the bond. And they're probably carriers that are like, oh, you know what? Maybe if I can't beat them, I should join them. And then they go out to do it. And then they realize, hey, you got to have good credit, certain things. But another number that also increased is people that are looking to enter the industry, people that are looking to become trucking companies, which to me is mind-blowing. We also have the highest number since I started monitoring this of new applications for property-carrying motor carrier authority. 2,065 people decided in the past week that they want to become freight brokers. Or I'm sorry, that they wanted to become property-carrying motor carriers. That's 2,065 people that all paid $300 to get their authority to enter the workforce, enter an industry where rates are really low. Joshua Andrews said, are you insinuating truckers have shit credit? No, what I'm insinuating is probably half of the people that have applied for both of these authorities, both carrier and broker, have no business doing it. That's what I'm insinuating. So they don't know how much a bond costs. They don't know how to run a business. They don't know how to broker freight, and they don't know how to drive a truck. That's what I'm insinuating, because I think a lot of people shouldn't be in this business in the first place, whether you're a carrier or broker. I'm universal in that. So welcome to the show, Joshua Andrews. Whatever the case for the increase, it proves that most have an optimistic view about the freight industry. It's really, really crazy, though. Those numbers are pretty big, and I've been monitoring these for a long time. To see that increase was very surprising for me. COVID-19 updates. As the coronavirus winds down, states are slowly starting to open, and businesses are hoping to get into their new normal, as we now, I guess, coined this. We have seen freight volumes increase in the past week, and rates are just starting to climb as these businesses try to get back into the groove. To date, we have 1,385,893 confirmed cases in the United States, with 81,796 deaths. 262,225 have recovered from the virus, according to Worldometer. I believe only 2% of people are in critical condition. 2% of the confirmed cases that are being hospitalized are in critical condition, which is a new low. So maybe we are on that downward curve of this coronavirus, and maybe that means more places will be opening up soon, hopefully. National diesel price again fell for the 17th consecutive week. It's down 0.5%, so not much, 239, which is a national average. It did, however, increase a little bit in the Gulf Coast region, West Coast region, And West Coast, not including California, it also went up. California also went down. So the national average right now is 239. That is down 76 cents, almost 77 cents from a year ago. That just continues to drive rates down as well, for anyone who doesn't realize how that works. But that is a pretty crazy look at the week. When you actually think about it and you look at all the factors and you look at all the people that filed for authority and you look at all the people that have filed, you know, to become freight brokers, especially when we're just having so much negative stuff all the time about the industry. It's funny that it's not really funny. I mean, it's concerning that so many people think this would be a good time to enter the industry. The trucking side, I agree with, because I think if you know what you're doing, it may be a good time to get involved in the trucking industry, not necessarily because rates are high now, but they're going to be as demand goes and everyone starts, you know, panic buying everything on the shelves and not because of a coronavirus, just because they're finally able to get out of the house and they have all these plans and what they want to do, but they couldn't go to the store and buy this all this crap. Hopefully people start, you know, consuming more goods. Therefore, we start making more and shipping more. That's kind of the goal. Jesse Moore said, Dr. Fauci said there's going to be spikes opening up soon. Yeah, I know. And he said we may have a separate reoccurrence in the fall. I hope not. These kids have to go back to school. They're driving me crazy. Jeremy Rice on YouTube said, anyone can hold a wheel. It takes a business mind to run a business. That is true. That's a thought that's often not thought about in this industry. And we've seen it a lot lately. Here's another story I put out this morning, actually a press release. Dispatch Track takes on first funding. So they got their first funding for $144 million led by Spectrum Equity. Now, why is this interesting? You guys are probably like, well, who cares? It's a delivery software. Who cares? Well, to me, it's cool because we used to do some white glove when I had my trucks as well. And a software like this back then would have been pretty rad. Software, I actually spent a long time looking at it, even though this is just a press release. I actually spent a long time looking at the software. It's pretty rad. And some of the stuff they do. So if you guys do some white glove delivery, you should look into that software. They are not a sponsor or anything. Their software is just very good. It allows customer reviews and rating and signed PODs and photos. And it's a very good software if you do any of that white stuff or white glove delivery stuff. Not if you do the white stuff. Anyway. And that's our story of the day. Our article that has gone very well. And everyone has seen the picture. And I got to wait for this picture to load. Everyone has seen the picture here. Say no to cheap loads. Everyone saw that picture. And if anyone's interested, this big article I wrote today, you're welcome to go to it. It's got a whole gallery of photos down at the bottom of DC. Some that I took when I was in DC. Others that I got off the group, the Disrespected Trucker. But you're welcome to see that. This site is called freightbrokerlive.com. It's my website. So you're welcome to go to it, freightbrokerlive.com. At any rate, so let's talk. Today they're on day 12 of this DC protest. We haven't really heard anything new in the past couple of days. As you know, we haven't heard anything new. The White House did send out a bunch of hats a little over a week ago, and the president acknowledged the trucker's insistence of broker price gouging during an interview last week. But since then, we have not heard anything new from virtually anybody involved. And I mean that, virtually anybody involved. The focus of the protest seemed to have flip-flopped as days passed. Originally, the groups were fragmented, each person with its own quest and own thing that they wanted to change in the industry. Some people wanted to focus on hours of service. Some people wanted to focus on cheap freight. The whole broker bashing thing in the broker price gouging and broker transparency didn't really materialize until after the protest was in place. But the one common theme is that there was no uniformity when this thing first started. Now, that's kind of changed a little bit. There is some directives going on, it seems. They seem to, at least maybe they're just monitoring what they're doing a little bit more. But some people wanted to highlight, you know, hours of service reform. Some people wanted to highlight autonomous trucks and getting rid of them and the Pronto AI and all that stuff and you know, work on that. And then other people are just focused on the whole price gouging issue and the steady maintaining that it's illegal, which it's not. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But as days pass, one of the group's organizers who left the protest days after it began called for the drivers to leave. You guys all know that. I talked about it last week. Rick Santiago was one of the organizers, and how he organized it. We're not talking about it. It's all crap. With fake videos and stuff like that. And anyway, he returned home shortly. Same day, actually. I left DC. He left DC. And he issued a call to action, calling on drivers who believe they were price gouged to send him all documented proof of rate confirmations and broker contracts. He wanted to prove he needed evidence that there were price that there was price gouging. We all know that, right? That's not a surprise to anybody. I mean, we've talked about it. He's posted videos. Well, then it changed. Oh, I can't forget that he called on truckers to leave DC at one point earlier in the week. I think it was Monday. He called on trucks to leave DC a week ago. Said there's no purpose of being there. You guys aren't going to get a meeting with the White House. It's time you pack up and go home. His words, not mine. That didn't go well with the current organizers who stayed to fight the good fight in DC. And they got mad and called for more trucks, and more trucks came, and then more trucks left, and then they came, and then they left, and organizers came, and then they left, and then they came back, and now they're wherever. Well, which I don't, you know, I'm not trying to make light of that. They have to leave. They have families to feed and all that stuff. And then in a surprise reversal yesterday, Santiago posted a video online saying he was wrong. The freight brokers are, in fact, not doing anything illegal, which is what freight brokers have maintained the entire time. But instead insisted freight brokers are acting immorally by increasing their profit margins and, according to many, forcing drivers to take rates far below their operating costs. Santiago called for more trucks to head to DC and vowed to return himself if they were able to round up 1,000 trucks. So if we get 1,000 trucks to go there, then he'll go back to DC, not to be a leader, just to stand in support with those fellas that are there. His change of heart came after he talked to an attorney, and the attorney said, "Oh, what is this broker stuff? I've never heard of it. Can you explain it to me?" And so he explained it to the attorney, and the attorney said, "Sir, you do not have a case," which is what everyone said anyway, because this is a free market. We don't force carriers to take loads, and we don't force, and shippers do not force brokers to sell cheap freight. Brokers make the choice to do it in some instances. Other instances, shippers are the one who are dictating the pricing. There's been so many fallacies in this whole thing that have come out. You have the head of the TIA who comes out in a public statement and says nobody's moving loads at pre-virus rates, which is incorrect. It's not even incorrect. It's patently false. And then you have other people that go out and say every customer is still working at contract rates, which again is false. The spot market is never on contract. So it's a lot of misinformation. And unfortunately, it really showed a lot about some of these business owners and some of these small trucking company owners and it showed the disconnect between education and just owning a company. And it showed that some of these companies really need to. Some of these guys need to take a course or something and learn, you know, there's how many people have commented that they didn't know they're operating a cost and all that stuff. Anyway, back to my story. The Facebook group, The Disrespected Trucker, has done as much as anyone could to keep the protesters together in the mission, providing a constant stream of video and social media post updates, welcoming other drivers to the protest, and encouraging stakeholders to show up and support the cause. The group seems excited because, remember, there's videos. 800 vans or 800 buses are coming to DC. I saw the post today, too. Well, it's true. 800 buses are coming. And you know what they're protesting? This is crazy. You know, they had a plan. They had a mission. 800 buses from across the country are descending on our nation's capital tomorrow at 11 a.m. And they're slated to arrive in the nation's capital to raise awareness about the transit industry's importance and the need for emergency funding. Which is ironic. Because again, the only people to call for emergency funding for trucking until someone is now actually putting it out. I just got a press release right before this. And it's a solo company. He's doing it in favor of a lot of people, but he's putting it out as just his company. But these 800 motor coaches that are descending on the city are not doing it as a show of solidarity with the trucking group that are there. They're doing it because of themselves. They've been planning it since well before this was all done. I found a press release from early April highlighting this. So they're descending on the city to try to bring they want $15 billion for the transportation industry. They have a plan. They have a motivation. They have people planned, and they're going to be talking about it, and everybody is ready to address it. But the groups that are in DC didn't have a plan. What's unknown is what the cause really is. The Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association, i.e. OOIDA, says the issue is cheap freight, and the group in DC is pushing for freight rate transparency, a regulation currently in place but typically waived as part of the broker carrier setup process. The OIDA is calling for the trying to make it so brokers can't put that in the agreements, which I technically agree with. I don't give a shit about transparency as a broker. That's a newsflash. This broker doesn't care. I don't care if someone else sees how much I make, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Never did. I mean, who cares? You either like how much I make or you don't. Doesn't bother me. But the OIDA has jumped on the calling, and now they're a vocal supporter. I believe today or yesterday they sent out emails to all their members saying, "Hey, we're supporting this, and brokers are bad." And this, they're continuing down that narrative after that narrative is now proved false. Anyway. The Transportation Intermediaries Association, a freight broker and 3PL association, has fought back against the freight broker price gouging claims, attributing the drastic drop in freight rates to basic economic principle of supply and demand. They put out lengthy videos that sucked, if you ask me. Maybe like this one if you don't like what I'm saying, but whatever. They put out lengthy videos and press releases defending their positions while being one of the few groups, and this is mind-blowing to me, and it's still mind-blowing to me, one of the few groups to actually call on the White House to provide immediate financial support for small truckers on the front lines, with the understanding that if something is not done immediately, these companies will fail. The only one to actually say anything about it is a freight broker association. Now, OIDA yesterday, they took offense to the fact that I said that. And they said, no, we did on April 12th, a month ago. A month ago, we sent in a request and we said, hey, forgetting about PPP loans and all that stuff, except it's not readily available. People are now starting to get PPP loans and the EIDL grants and things like that. I mean, attribute it to whatever you want. They're starting to get it now. So that's all that matters. Landscapers outside, it's annoying me. The country is starting to open up, and as states begin to release their stay-at-home orders, businesses are beginning to open, load volumes are starting to increase, rates are slow to increase, but they're going to. But they're showing marginal increases this week, according to DAT trend lines. As all these load volumes and rates continue to increase, some are wondering how long the drivers protesting cheap freight will remain in D.C., or just simply return to the spot market when rates level out. Very curious about that one myself. And I thought that was important to put in here. Because what happens? You know, rates are starting to come up. They're not up high yet. Don't worry about it. We're still going to see negative complaints about stuff for a while. But when you run rates every single day like I do, not just for brokering, but for research and all that, I see rates are starting to come up. They're coming up across the board. You know, but it's crazy. And just for case in point, so today I had a load. Customer called me last night and said, "Hey, I want you to move this load." And I said, "All right." And I quoted $2 a mile. And I decided, hey, you know what? And I quoted carrier pay $2 a mile, me making like 5% or something like that after. So just so you know, this is not crazy. This is real. So then I decided to use DAT's book now functionality because our system is set up to use it. So I put the load out there. And as part of that, I had the rate that I wanted to pay, but it also takes a low-end, high-end rates. And I put it in there. And I it's the second time I ever used it. So I didn't even know really what I was doing. But I posted it as a book now load. Immediately, the load was booked. and booked by a carrier that was approved by us. And then I was like, wait, what? Why does it say I made 20% profit margins? Because our system automatically, even though the BookNow functionality has bidding platform, so it's a bidding platform. So if you don't like the BookNow functionality, you can counter the rate. But this carrier ended up just booking it at the BookNow rate. So I made $376 commission on this load. 20%, it was like 21% commission. Now, am I a bad person for doing that? No, I didn't even set the rate. My rate was, I was supposed to make 5% commission on it. But unfortunately, I put the wrong number in there. I don't even remember putting the number in there, to be honest. I don't even know what happened. But he booked it at the bottom end of the load. He didn't try to negotiate. He didn't try to argue with me. He didn't try to do anything. He booked it. Me being who I am and the fact that I was so surprised, guess what I did? The honorable thing. I called him and I said, hey, you just booked this load. And he's like, yep. And I said, you good with it? He's like, yep. I just need the addresses. And I was like, okay. I said, what are you doing? And he's like, well, we're delivering at 2:00. We got contract freight coming out. We do backhauls every day. And if we don't find one that works for us, we just come back. And I said, all right. And I said, again, are you good with this rate? And you know what he said? Yes, sir. I booked the load. Am I bad? Am I evil because the carrier ended up taking $1.47 a mile in a lane that pays more than that? It wasn't really $1.47. I pulled that number out of my ass. It was probably like $1.60, $1.70. I don't know. Someone else can do the math. Roughly $1,340 on 796 miles. It wasn't a lot of money. Freight dispatcher said, dude, you're making like $300. That's okay. Not like the other scumbags out there that are making 1,000+. Think about it. There's a video that's circulating right now that was just put out. No, RD Trucking said, no, he didn't know it paid more. He didn't even try to counter my rate. He just booked it. And that's the thing that's going on in this market right now, is people aren't negotiating. Carriers aren't negotiating. I'm sure there were a couple of carriers that saw that BookNow rate and were like, what the hell? And it was wrong. It was put in there for several hundred dollars under what I wanted to book it at. I just messed up when I was posting the load. He could have called me and said, hey, it says $1,300. I think your rate's a little off. That's well under market. What's up? But he didn't. He just booked the load. And this is what people are doing left and right. And those are the people that keep the rates down. Those are the people that keep the rates down. Freight dispatcher said people are scared to negotiate. That's why. Well, and if you truly are a freight dispatcher and you're scared to negotiate, then quit your job, sir. If I was a carrier, I wouldn't be afraid to negotiate, nor would I have taken a load that paid that little. But again, is it my responsibility to make sure someone else makes enough money and make sure someone else is profitable? Especially when they have full control. He could have called and said, hey, I think your rate's wrong. Or, hey, can you pay $50 more, $20 more, $100 more, $300 more? But he didn't. He booked the load. He was in control of that load, not me. He didn't negotiate. He didn't do anything. You know, it is what it is. But there was another person that was talking about a load from California. He's talking about, and he posted a video. It was a TQL load from California to North Carolina, some crap like that. 2,400 miles, they were offering $3,000 on the rate. And then he's like, is that the best you can do? And they offered $32. And then he made a 10-minute video complaining about TQL doing that and trying to charge money. Granted, are they probably making $4,000? Probably. Market rate is $38.80 on that lane. So they were definitely under market rate. But the problem is, RD Trucking said, see, I would have told him it was a mistake and then paid what it paid. Guess I think different. That's why I'm not a used car salesman. Well, you have to speak practice, you know, in all reality. That's not my job. That's his job. That's his job to do it. His job is the job of the carrier is to set the rate. That's the job. The job of the carrier is to do their due diligence and book a load. You know why he took the load? Because he was getting $3 a mile coming in anyway, or whatever the hell he was getting. It was a contract load coming in, dedicated freight. So he didn't care what he was pulling back.
You know, he's, and just like he said, as long as it's paying what I need, that's it. I didn't say anything about what do you need. He said, as long as it's paying what I need to get back to get to pull our dedicated freight, that's it. Steel Hauling DC said, it's your responsibility to correct your accidental mistake and his job to negotiate. It's not my job to correct an accidental mistake because in all reality, he booked the load before. I mean, it was literally on the board for about 2 minutes. You know, Alex Dowell said, free market bullcrap. Why were medical supply stores prosecuted for setting their demand prices higher to demand? That's not what's happening. It's, that's not what price gouging is, sir. That, well, that is price gouging. What's going on in the market? We're moving rates and we're moving loads at market rates. Rates are driven down by an environment of factors. So they're driven down by basic supply and demand, economics 101 stuff. They're also driven down by carriers who accept those rates. And they're also driven down by brokers who sell those rates. The fault lies with nobody except those three groups of people. And one, you can't blame anybody. Supply and demand, it is what it is. But carriers and freight brokers that are accepting the cheap freight and selling the cheap freight are the ones who are responsible for it. They're the ones who keep it and who are responsible for these low rates. The sooner everybody actually sits and uses their darn head and figures that out, it's a game changer. When people realize, when truckers realize, hey, guess what? I do not need to take that load. And when freight brokers realize, hey, guess what? I do not need to take this load from the customer. It happens. Because I did that. This is the first move, first load I've moved since the first week of April. Why? Because my big customer said, I want to move cheap stuff. And I said, I'm not doing it. So I lost the customer. The customer's still moving his freight. He's just doing it with other people. I refuse to do it. So the very first load, I go back to moving freight. Guess what happens? A carrier books a load for under market with me. Under market. Could he have called and said, hey, you know what? I could have paid you more for that. But I started the call off and said, hey, you booked that load. Yep. You good with it? Oh, yeah. Just need the addresses. Why offer more money? That's like a carrier calling. Here's a funny situation. If you called on a load and it said $3 a mile, but you knew market rate was $1.50 or $1.60 or $1.70, would you call the broker back and say, hey, listen, I think you're paying a little too much on the load? Absolutely not. There's not a single one of you that'll do it. Not a single one. I can almost guarantee it. Actually, I can guarantee it. There's not a single one of you guys that would do that. Because you didn't in 2018. Alex Dallas said, why are these stores prosecuted for setting their prices higher during the demand? That's not what's going on here. Prices are lower because that's what the market rate is. That when companies are price gouging, they're adjusting their rates based on demand higher. They're making people pay more for something. They're taking what is the average rate and then charging more than that to try to make more of a profit. That is not what the majority of freight brokers are doing. Do you understand that? Freight brokers are moving shit at market rates. Now, there are brokers, and so I got to walk that back a little bit. There are brokers 100% that are out there taking advantage of the situation that have freight at market rates or have freight at pre-market rates, you know, based on contractual obligations or shippers that aren't privy or don't understand the industry, and they're taking advantage of the situation. I had a call with one of my other customers yesterday, and I was talking to him. He's from Michigan as well. Not that I am, but he's from Michigan. And I was talking to him yesterday and I was like, hey, and he's like, how are you guys doing in trucking? I said, it sucks. He's like, what do you mean? I said, we're not moving shit. We haven't moved any freight in over a month. You know, I'm good for a while, but I got to start moving freight. And we're talking about it. He's like, I wish I had more freight. You know, no one's really buying anything here either. And he's, you know, going back and forth about, you know, economics and whether stuff is going to pick up and when I think it's going to pick up. It's just, it's crazy. Stanley Brutus on YouTube said, we can't plan shippers for not wanting to pay much now because we overcharge them when we can. It's a consequences of being under inconsiderate. I think you're trying to say. Yeah. I mean, that's the industry. Angela Cripp said, I had 4 loads cancel on me yesterday. Broker said it was because customer moved it cheaper. People have to understand the market. People have to understand the industry. It's not just brokers being shady all the time. Yes, there are brokers that are being shady. Let me make that perfectly clear. I know of brokers that are being shady. And some of them are being shady because they're just being greedy. And then the majority of them are not. What they're doing is like I always say, they're saving 100, but sacrificing one. So they're keeping their companies afloat, not laying off any employees, trying to maintain their business and bring on new sales and all that stuff. And they're paying lower than market rates for their existing clients. That's part of the industry. They're staying afloat. As much as it sucks and it has consequences with other carriers, it's part of the industry. It's something that happens. And people have to realize that. That is the industry. That is the market. But to me, it was funny because I saw the videos and all the content, and everything that everyone's making. And they're talking about all these buses, like all these buses are part of this protest. No, they're not. And I know what they're doing. They're hoping that all these buses that go into DC for this protest, when they do their call for transit aid, which is definitely needed. Transit companies are going under left and right. I see it every single day on all the feeders that I use for the news. Trucking or bus companies are not opening because for them, there's no end in sight. They don't have an immediate turnaround. People are not going to be traveling for a while. You know? Ryan Johnson said, we are loading 7 loads today, all 1-1s. All of them are over 250 a mile watermelons out of Florida. Yes, sir. Bikes, trucks, and Zero Blah said, how do you get a broker license? Same way you get a carrier license. Same way you file for your authorities. It's literally the exact same application. I think I've got a video on it somewhere. RD Trucking said, if you look at rates historically, 2018 rates are still low in comparison to where they should be, taking into account inflation and $1 and high. And I 100% agree. I 100% agree. Unfortunately, the rates are never going to level out. It's the same argument I make with accessorial fees. It costs more to idle a truck for 40 for you know, an hour or two or 3 or 4 hours than it does than you guys get paid for detention currently. But the problem is no one does anything to adjust that. No one actually sits there and says, you know what, $40 an hour isn't enough. I do, and I'm a broker, but I tell my customers that when we have new customers. I tell them the same thing. $40 an hour to pay for the truck isn't enough money. Liana Dunn said, I just learned about this issue during the DC protests. I don't know what you mean about that. You're talking about the cheap freight and the broker bashing and all that stuff. And I say broker bashing because that's what it is. When you lump a group together and then you bash them for two reasons. One, because you don't understand basic economics, or you don't understand supply and demand, or two, because there are some people being shady. But if people don't know what's going on, and that's why I don't really fault the people for having these opinions that much, you know, can't really fault them. Joe Gertz said too many fly-by-night dispatchers are acting as brokers. That's another thing. Yeah, everyone is focusing on brokers taking big commissions, and then I still see dispatching ads in different groups. There was one the other day. He was lobbying for anti-broker bashing and this and that. And so I went to his website, and I was like, let's see. The brokers take too much of a commission. He's like, all brokers need to be at a 5% commission rate. This was a dispatcher or someone affiliated with the dispatcher. And it's ironic because he's someone heavily affiliated with the Houston trucker protest and all that stuff. You guys probably have seen him in the news articles and things like that. So one, he's got some sort of affiliation with the dispatch company, or maybe he just has the same name and I'm confused at who it is. But I went to the dispatching company's website, and guess what? Yeah, they do. They dispatch you for 12%. You want to talk about no overhead? Yes, freight brokers do not have a substantial overhead like you guys do as independent truck owners. The per head cost is way lower for it's almost non-existent for a broker versus a single truck owner operator. But you know what's even less? A dispatcher. So when dispatchers are out there charging 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or in this case, 12%. They have no overhead. They haven't got a bond. They haven't got an authority. They don't have anything. They have a computer. They have load boards that they typically get under your name. So I just think it's funny that dispatchers are even out here arguing about cheap brokers. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. Let me put up this phone number, and I'm going to play this little goat commercial for a second. But let me put up the phone number. If you guys want to call in, you're welcome to call in. And then I'll be right back. I'm going to end right at 3 o'clock today. Got a bunch of stuff to do, like I said.
I'm simply the best, better than all the rest, yeah, better than anyone, I'm the best.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
I don't care who you are. That one is funny right there. All right. If you guys want to call in, 914-803-4008, 914-803-4008, you're welcome to. Talk about whatever you want. All right, let's see some of these comments here. Bike Strucks and Zero Blah said, we have had problems like this since trucking started. My grandpa had the same issues back in the 70s. Yeah, if you guys didn't know, on my website, on every single article, there people are writing comments. We have a lot of comments. There's an article that a truck driver and business owner, who I was supposed to call this morning and I forgot, titled Commentator Pose, Trucker Says Some in this industry need a bit of education and liberty and freedom. That article did very well and has a huge amount of traffic on the website. And there's a bunch of comments and there's just comments on all the articles. So you guys should check those out as well. And I'm probably going to reactivate the forum in hopes that I could drive some traffic to that and use the forum maybe for conversations and stuff like that. Anyway, but yeah, you guys should check out freightbrokerlive.com for all your news and all that stuff. All right, let me read some of these things. David Quacklebaum said, I see people running dispatch services that work for real brokerage agencies. Yeah, I know. They did it while I was a freight broker, and they did it while I was an agent or a dispatcher as well. And I never understood that, because what kind of, you want to talk about price transparency. If you're an agent for a big broker and you're booking a load through your brokerage, giving it and then charging someone for dispatching, that's double commission right there. Who are they mad at? That's what people have to understand. People have to get mad at the right people and paint your trucks to say no. Someone posted a good one so everyone could see this. This is someone's trailer. The one thing I can't tell from the photo, if this is actually really spray painted on there. If this is, how many of you guys, if you were a shipper, would you load that truck? There's not a chance in hell I would load that truck as a shipper. Say absolutely not. No way in hell. Nate said, spitballing here, but couldn't there be a minimum rate per lane like we have a minimum wage? No, again, because this is a business. No one forces anyone to get involved in this business. So rates have to be set. If a carrier accepts a load, it's his job to make sure he gets paid enough money for it. And if he doesn't get paid enough money, then it's his job not to take the load. And the same responsibility goes with the broker. You know, just because I'm a broker and I don't have as much overhead doesn't mean that I don't have to do my due diligence in booking the right loads and getting the right prices and doing all that stuff. Because if I constantly undersell loads and I have to take losses, guess what? I'm not in the business to make money. I don't move loads at a loss. So why a carrier would haul a load at a loss, I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me. But that's what carriers are doing when you're hauling 89 cent a mile loads. Doesn't make any sense. Laz said he's here. Yeah, we've already started, bro. 45 minutes into it. John Gershick said, all these courses you can buy now on how to be a dispatcher on Instagram, it's pretty much teaching the illegal way. And they do it. There's boot camps, there's courses, there's Instagram, there's shit. There's people that teach it in like 20 minutes. Boom. Because really, how hard is it to teach someone how to use a load board? Anyone who's learned how to use a load board yourself, you know how easy it is to call on a couple of carriers. You're not going through extensive training to learn what kind of paperwork to do. You're not going through extensive training to do anything. How many of your dispatchers out there, people who utilize dispatchers, and I'm not crapping on them if they're illegal. If they don't have broker bonds and all that, in my book, they're illegal and shouldn't be allowed to exist. But how many dispatchers or independent brokers have errors in emissions insurance? You know, meaning if you screw up, you're covered, and people can, you know, if they sue you because you're the one that messed up, the insurance covers it. How many of you guys? Raise your hand if you have it. I do, as an independent agent. Do any of you brokers? Because it's all insurance that you guys should have. Do any of you dispatchers? Because what happens if you screw up and you, you know, load the wrong amount? Someone decides to get pissed off at you and sue you. You're screwed. Actually, no, you just start a new company. It's not even like having a bond or anything like that. You have no recourse. The carrier has no recourse to recover any funds from a dispatcher. We have a caller on hold. I'll pick him up. 773 area code. What's up, bud?
Hey, what's going on, man? This is Alex Hayes. My conversation was about what's the difference if a shipper was once charged $800 for 300 miles, right? That was standard average price,
yeah.
300 miles, next day delivery. And then once the economic slowdown happens, he just says, hey, well, I don't have to charge that now. I can charge $500,
right?
And we're talking about shippers now, and broker does a totally different conversation. How is that okay to do? But then if I have medical supplies, right,
mm-hmm.
I can't charge a higher rate because of demand, right?
Right.
I don't see the difference if we talk about free market capitalism.
Right. Well, because
one person gets, go ahead.
Right. Well, because the industry works at market rates. So our industry is based on the sellable market. It's based on supply and demand. The more capacity we have, the less the load pays. And it goes that way anyway, all the time. That's how it goes. Because
right.
The rates, do you, totally rates didn't, it, rates, rates didn't d- drop because we had, you know, the same amount of loads. Rates dropped because volumes were cut by 60%. Rates dropped because we added 300,000 trucks to our already overabundance of capacity. According to that, for 3 weeks in April, they had more trucks than loads nationwide. That was a nationwide average. I believe that was the first time ever.
I totally understand economics 101 theory that, you know.
Well, it's not a theory. It's literally economics.
Now, and true. So now when there's a pandemic and I have a flux of medical supplies like masks, sanitizer, Lysol, how come I can't dictate what the rate should be on selling to customers? But I get prosecuted.
Well, because
that's my argument.
Right.
Why is that not capitalism? That's capitalism, right?
No, because what do you know? See, everyone's missing the definition of price gouging. When you have a load of sanitizer in the market rate for the sanitizer or the average for all the carriers that are selling that.
Well, by the way,
what?
By the way, I never use the word price gouging.
I'm explaining it. So, but when you have, that's what you're implying is price gouging. So whether or not you use a word, it doesn't matter. It's what you're implying. You're saying, why can you not charge what you want? But I'm going to explain that to you because our rates are based at a market rate. Here, I got to mute your phone because it's really loud. I'll put you back on in a second. So just hold on.
Okay.
But when you have a market rate, so for example, sanitizer sells for $1.99. When you go into a pandemic, yes, that rate can drop as more product are flooding the market. The rate can't increase dramatically unless it increases as a market. If the whole entire industry says, hey, we have our cost to produce the goods increased, that's why the rate increases. That's not price gouging. What price gouging is when one person says, hey, the demand increased, the cost to produce the goods didn't increase, but I'm going to raise my price anyway. That is called price gouging, and that's why they went after people. It's a different scenario than what goes on in the market because they took supply and demand and said, hey, we have an overabundance of capacity, which always, whether it's pandemic or not, drives the rates down. Here, let me unmute your phone so you can get back on. All right, you're back on.
And I understood what you just, you know, and trust me, I understood how you explained it because I understand it that way.
Right.
I just don't believe this capitalism system. If I have a warehouse and I produce masks at this time or chemicals, hand sanitizer,
yeah,
if this is capitalism, I can set the price at whatever I want.
Right.
Right. Yeah, but that's capitalism.
Right.
That's free market. If you don't want it, go next door to the next store or produce your own.
Right.
That's my argument. If you're going to use free market capitalism supply and demand. I'm like, well, it doesn't work that way all the way around because companies get prosecuted for it.
They're two different scenarios completely, because you have one where you're actually going out to try to generate more or charge more than what the market dictates, where here rates were cut to get to where the market dictates. It's a different scenario. I get your drift, but now you should be able to see why it doesn't really apply to this, you know, and some people are still doing it. And that's why I do say that there are instances of price gouging where people are moving stuff at market rates and the contract rate hasn't, or the rate itself hasn't changed, but yet they're still not, and they're still trying to move at market rate to generate more of a profit. That's the thing. But is it, you can't fight that because it's the decision to purchase is voluntary. You know what I mean? Carriers are voluntarily taking the loads. No one's under, even though some may be under economic pressure to make money and do all that stuff, they're not being forced to take loads. Everyone has a choice to sit. But thank you for calling, bro.
No, thank you, man, for taking my call.
All right, bro. RD Trucking said, your explanation is semantics. You're trying to twist thing to defend brokers sticking it to us. Well, no, I'm not trying to twist shit. It's reality. It's using your head once in a while. I mean, people have to start. Otherwise, you guys are going to go out of business. Every single trucker that's out here and being like, I'm boycotting all these brokers and all this, and brokers are taking huge profits and doing this. You guys are going to put yourself out of business, to be honest, until everyone understands the industry and everyone understands how it actually works. It's not going to help any of you in all reality. And I mean that with the utmost sincerity and sincerity. Wow, whatever. All right, what's up, man? You're on the air, 363. Or no, 636.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good, what's up?
How are you doing this afternoon? Very well, thank you. Listen, I just have two comments for you. First of all, I think you should not use bad language on the broadcast. And second, there is no salvation outside the Catholic Church.
All right, good luck with that. Turn off my show then, buddy. Clearly the first time he's ever watched. I think this he just killed my whole show for the day. Unbelievable. We've got 4 minutes left. Laz said it's not semantics in the least, but no, clearly it's not. It's common sense. In all reality, it's common sense. Are there people that are taking advantage of the situation? Yes, 100%. There are brokers that are taking advantage of the situation, just as there are carriers that are taking advantage of the situation. The guy that booked my load today under market cost took advantage of the situation. Why did he do it? Because it was his choice. He knew that he was making enough money. Was that enough money for Joe Blow, one truck operator that doesn't have any designated freight? Absolutely not. But the carrier that had contract freight that knew exactly how much he needed to get back booked the load. Did I take advantage of the situation by not going to the carrier and saying, hey, let me pay you more money? Sure. But the fact is it's not my responsibility to make sure someone else is productive and someone else knows their business. RD Trucking said, oh, okay, and sitting and not taking loads because broker refused to give us a rate we need will keep us in business. You literally will lose less money. Here, I got to take down the phones because I got to end this on time, because if it's over an hour, I can't update it on Instagram or upload it. So the phones are dead. I'll open them earlier next time. I apologize for that. Let me put this back over here and answer this question, because I just saw a comment from RD Trucking. He said, oh, okay, and sitting and not taking loads because brokers refuse to give us the rate we need will keep us in business. No, but I guarantee if you take loads that are cheaper than your operating costs, you're going to burn more money than you will by parking your truck. And keep in mind, I'm not just some freight broker talking out my ass. I owned a fleet of trucks. I know the cost to operate trucks. I knew exactly how much my break even was per day. I knew that if that truck worked for 7 hours and 59 minutes, exactly how much it cost me to have that truck running to the minute. That was my job as a business owner. My job was to make sure that I was able to do everything and focus on every single little thing that I needed to. Joe Gersh said, Did I see the video from DC earlier talking about a broker charging $14K to go across the United States? No, I didn't. No. And if they're charging a customer, I have no idea. Frankly, I don't care. If you're talking, I don't know what it is. People are dumb. I mean, that's the easiest, nicest way that I could say it is people just really aren't thinking right now. from brokers to carriers, the brokers that are moving freight cheap, or the brokers that are being out and being malicious, and to the carriers that are accepting cheap freight, to some of the guys that are in DC not having a focus and not saying, hey, the White House, we need some sort of economic stimulus to keep us alive, otherwise we're done. Instead, let's push for broker transparency so we can go in a legal battle for years and years and years. Hell, even Rick Santiago figured it out. It's not going to happen. In his video yesterday, I was just hoping he was going to say, we just need some sort of economic stimulus or something. We need some sort of economic support. He didn't, but he did say that the whole broker transparency is a losing argument. It's not going to work. Justin Schribner said a carrier called me on a load I have and quoted me $1 a mile. I know, but it's all brokers. That's what everyone wants to believe. It's not, unfortunately. People have to start using their head. People have to fix it. Lana Danko said we have to ask for immediate relief in Washington, D.C. People don't understand that, though. The people that are in charge have not asked for it in any one of their videos, even the good ones, even the ones that I support. And you guys know who you are. None of you have listened to anything I've said or anybody else. And he's not back in D.C., is he? And maybe he is. Who cares? Kevin Cooley said Rick Santinel had a video last night watching. He's talking to a guy about quantum. I don't know what the guy's name. Yeah, his name is Brian Watt, and he's just as out there as everybody else. You know, he's just talking about, you know, something that doesn't directly affect the spot market, as like that's going to help anybody right now. Focus on what's going to help people. Economic relief to keep small business trucking alive. If nobody focuses on that, then we will have what Laz calls the great carrier purge of 2020, when all these companies, all those businesses up there that are sitting there protesting about brokers price gouging, those guys will all be out of business. I talked to drivers that were from the Chicago area that were going to be out. They were going to be out. Kevin Wright said Rick found a new inspiration. Honey Lane. Lane Honey is what it's called. But yeah, that's just that's about as garbage as any other video he puts out because it's not real. Anyone that's worked in the industry for a couple of days knows that. Alex Dowell said, but an economic stimulus is not capitalism, that's socialism. I can have it whatever way I want, bro. This is my show. We need support for the trucking. I don't care about going back and forth about semantics. You know, you guys want to talk about semantics. I'm not going back and forth with semantics. Frankly, if you guys all don't want shit and you want to go out of business and go out of business, I don't care. But with that said, I got to end this video. My name is Steve Oatley. This show has been Freight Broker Live. I think tonight is going to be the first episode of Freight and Whiskey. That's what I'm now calling the late night freight show. I may make it. I don't know. It depends. But I have a nice bottle of whiskey and I'm dying to drink it while talking about freight. Anyway, with that said, my name is Steve. We'll talk to you later. Make sure you tune to Freight Broker Live for all your breaking news and cool stuff everywhere.